I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cake.
It is Wednesday, which means it's time for the front three with me, Adam Boltwood, the one and only Dave O'Brien.
Brett, get him in the book!
And of course, Lawrence McKenna.
Ref, keep him out of the book.
Just a book, mate. Got to get him in the book sometimes, haven't you? Some tackles just deserve a yellow card.
We'll come on to some tackles. All right, Dave, don't you worry about that. Gentlemen, it is a pleasure to be with you here this evening. It's a pleasure to have you out there listening as well. Thank you very much for joining us on the front three. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. A lot of football action going on this Wednesday evening. Before we get into it, though, as always, it's comment of the week time. And there's only one winner this week. It's Kind Dan 2 on the iTunes reviews. His review is entitled "Take a Bow, Son." Nice, Andy Graham. I like it. He said, "Absolutely quality pod. These lads have got knowledge and banter in abundance. The controversial views, insight, and variation between the three are top. Feels like a real community podcast, and is always a joy to listen to." Dan, thank you very much for your review. You get comment of the week this week. The exciting announcement, though, is next week, Dave. Well, maybe we'll announce it on this weekend's podcast. I believe you've bagged yourself another prize to give away to one lucky listener.
Dave, you're just so generous.
You know, one of these listeners is going to win big. Very, very big.
How big are we talking, Dave?
A million.
FIFA 16 on the PS4.
Are you talking about a game that came out 8 months ago, Dave? You are telling me.
No, no. It came out last week, mate. There's an update on it, isn't there?
Oh, right. Okay. So it's not an 8 months. It is free, though, to be fair. I mean,
if you walked into game and you got yourself a 5-finger discount,
exactly.
You just picked it up off the shelf and you go, "Fuck it, I'm from the front three." I'm from a podcast. Back off! And they went, "Okay."
So if you have been umming and ahhing over the last 8 months over whether to buy FIFA, no longer, because this is your chance to win a free copy of FIFA 16 on the PS4. I believe, Dave.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
It'd be even better if it's on PS3 or like some obsolete console. Guys, all you have to do, as always, get on iTunes or your podcast app, rate and review the podcast. Our favourite review is going to win this amazing, not at all out of date prize. That's how it goes.
Of course, you can win it for the N64. Yes, that's right. FIFA 16.
We should give away FIFA 98.
FIFA 96 for Sega Mega Drive. Adam, I'm really surprised this week, Adam, that Comments of the Week doesn't go to Dad Boltwood, or even better, the more recent account, Mummy Boltwood.
I was about to give a little mention to that. There's been at least two Dad Boltwood accounts springing up. Quite unsettling, I felt. You know, quite surreal. Doesn't look like my dad.
It's also unusual. I mean, it's unusual that your mum is, first of all, a grandma, and second of all, it is definitely a stock image.
Yeah, that's what's excellent.
Hi there, sweetie. Her first ever tweet was, "Hi there, sweetie. Can you give me a hand working out this Twitter thing? Your dad, Boltwood, wasn't very helpful." And the second one was, "Please help your dad with the telly, son, and remember to pack the dishwasher before you go out."
I mean, it's so realistic. It's eerie.
Last tweet for dad is Ellie, you fucking beautiful man, tweeted Adam Boltwood. Sad face, tweeted Dad Boltwood, clearly to the swearing. Clearly to the swearing. Censor yourself, Adam.
It's just like my real dad as well. So, I mean, it is, like I said, it's eerily accurate. Also, apparently my nan listened to the podcast this week and she was apparently concerned with all the swearing as well. So I await the Nan Boltwood Twitter account coming out soon. I await that with much excitement. Before that, though, guys, we've got to talk about some actual football. There's been a lot of it tonight, the biggest result of which, Liverpool hammering Everton 4-0, Lawrence. That was a comprehensive win and another great result for Jurgen Klopp's side.
Liverpool are side with great confidence right now. You know, and Everton aside with not very much confidence. Liverpool have won, five of their last seven, and Everton have won five of their last 22. That was going into this game. And then you look at the, you know, the passing combination of the two sides, the way that Everton approached this game was clearly that, you know, they were on the back foot going into Anfield. Anfield again, another great atmosphere, going to yet another sort of Anfield-esque game. It was pretty much the perfect situation for Jurgen Klopp starting the match. It's not ended in the same way. I mean, 4-0 is a fine result. It wasn't actually a great game to watch because, you know, 4-0s actually tend to be quite boring. Satisfying for Liverpool, but not actually that satisfying because there was very little competition. You know, Everton created a couple of chances, and I was actually really impressed with the way that Romelu Lukaku led the line yet again for Everton, fueling yet more rumours to do with him and Chelsea and saying he has unfinished business there. But then down the other end, I was impressed with you know, the combination of Lallana, Origi, Firmino and Coutinho. And, you know, as the game went on, that just became ever more prevalent. Liverpool players basically lining up to take shots against 10 men who were backed off as soon as Furious Amore got sent off when he, you know, went straight through
awful
Origi's ankle.
Completely.
Spraining his ankle and damaging ligaments. And, you know, Liverpool's most informed player, Origi, is now out for a while, and disappointing, really, because, you know, Chan's gone out for the rest of the season. Origi's definitely out now for the rest of the season. And, you know, essentially that means that Liverpool are going to have to look at their striking options. Is it Daniel Sturridge? Is it Christian Benteke? Daniel Sturridge, of which, came on and is now faster to 50 goals, I think it's 50 goals for Liverpool, than Rush, Torres, and a number of other top strikers. So, you know, I mean, people criticise him. I know it's been done over a lot of time, but, you know, look at where he is. He's doing fantastic stuff.
50 goals in 87 appearances for Liverpool.
There you go. So faster than Rush, Torres, a number of other players.
Also impressed with James Milner now, Lawrence. Man of the match tonight. He's got 11 assists in 2016, three more than any other player. I think if you were told Liverpool fans at the start of the season, Liverpool fans at the start of the season, Milner will be their captain, man of the match in the Merseyside derby, one of the most important players, their head might have exploded.
Captain by default, not necessarily a man of the match in the derby. But he's been good. He deserves credit for that. As does Firmino for reaching double figures this season. You know, it's difficult to adjust to the Premier League, and he's obviously done that very quickly, being in and out of the team in a transitional season with a new manager, picking up a system very well. You know, I think it was said in the commentary that a number of players have been almost given chances by default. Milner's obviously not one of those. Milner definitely needs to work on his set pieces, shall we put it. When the ball's in play, he's fantastic at crossing it. But you put it anywhere near the quadrant, and he's just, it's as if he doesn't know where the ball is. It's unusual. Ibe, Allen, Lucas, Moreno all playing tonight and again putting in impressive performances. Just a few weeks ago, Ibe, you know, tweeting out or Instagramming, you know, that he felt the door was closing. People reading into that he felt like he was leaving Liverpool. Either he's putting himself in the shop window here, or he's certainly putting a case forward as to why Klopp, when he looks into the market in the summer, maybe needs to look for people to compliment as opposed to replace.
What about Everton then, Dave? I mean, Kieran XD at Danny OB 1997 tweets in, should it be time up for Martinez? Everton have underperformed so much this season. I rate him, but defensively terrible.
Firstly, I'd like to apologise to the listeners, Adam, for your incorrect Premier League assist stat. Actually, you're unfairly not awarding Christian Eriksen the 6 assist that is joint top with Milner in 2016. So apologies to Christian Eriksen. Adam,
you made
a bit of a mistake
there,
mate. But we'll let you away with that. Regarding Martinez, I think
Squawker stats up and shit, though, do they?
This is a point, mate. Who scored the stats, really? You know what I mean? But really interesting. Martinez, Everton at the start of the season were compact. They looked very, very good on the counter-attack. They're quite a nice balance where they were sort of playing three in their midfield four. They were playing three central midfielders and one sort of attacker. And it broke like a 4-3-3, but defensively they were a 4-4-2. And they've just stopped doing that. You know, games at the start of the season against Southampton, they thumped them 3-0. They hardly had a kick of the game, but they just scored three goals on the counter-attack. Now it just seems that Everton can't defend to save their life at the moment. You know, John Stones, who is still a wonderful defender and is still a very, very good player, looks shot of confidence. You know, Leighton Baines is no more.
He gave away that ball for the third goal as well, John Stones. A poor pass, you know, let Liverpool in easily. That's not what you'd expect to see from John Stones, especially at the start of the season when, of course, he's been bandied about for 50 million.
But I think that's the problem with, you know, young, overhyping young players. They sometimes, if they do start making mistakes, the media jumps on them, bang, confidence is gone. And it's big. Martinez, you know, he got taken off, didn't he, John Stones?
Yes.
You know, shortly after the incident. What are you playing at in terms of man management? If you want to play a certain style of football and you make a mistake playing out the back, don't take a player off. That's Louis van Gaal-esque.
Oh, come on, Dave. I feel like this is, you know, Everton can play this a number of ways. You know, it's quite clear at this season that the league is, you know, well, it's just nothing at this point. There's nothing for them really to gain from it, but they seem safe. And then, you know, you obviously look to the FA Cup. I personally keep Martinez for that. The problem being, you know, basically they don't have anyone else to bring in. If they've got someone else and they are seriously thinking about replacing him in the long term, then it's probably better to do it now than post FA Cup game. It's just such a short turnaround. The players don't look like they have. Aren't playing with very much confidence in the system. To sit that many men behind the ball, etc., just doesn't seem sort of fit with what Martinez was looking to do, like Dave said at the beginning of the season. But the thing with Everton is they do have investment now. They do have money coming in. So are they going to give him a war chest, or are they going to give someone else a war chest? I just wonder if they're trying to make it hobble through to the end of the season at this point. But you don't want to be hobbling in the FA Cup where you've got a chance of winning something.
Surely they won't replace him before the FA Cup semi-final, though.
Well, Adam,
who are they going to bring in?
This team have just lost 4-0.
Well, I mean, we saw a managerial change after the last Merseyside derby, obviously with Liverpool. It does feel like one is coming, but I tend to think they'll probably wait until the end of the season to assess it before pulling the trigger now. Especially who are the options? Moyes, bringing Moyes back?
There's that. And then you've got some of the old guard who, of course, be happy that we've seen the comments from Leighton Baines. We've obviously seen what Funes Mori did out on the pitch there. A frustrated player. It's nothing to do really directly with getting rid of a manager, but it certainly is to do with aggression out on the pitch, maybe misplaced aggression. And Klopp said pre-match, you know, if you're going to get anyone injured out there, injure yourself, don't injure anyone else. And it was really disappointing because, you know, that's Origi who's doing fantastic, you know, just as he's coming into his prime and definitely looking towards the Euros. That's taken him out of action for what looks like a while because it's ligament damage and, you know, a sprained ankle, which is at least, you know, 2 to 3 weeks for professional players.
In terms of Martinez, I mean, we mentioned it a few weeks ago, maybe Duncan Ferguson is an option. But either way, as I mentioned there, Liverpool obviously made that managerial change after last Merseyside derby. Klopp coming in, Lawrence.
But it was very clear that they had a successor. They had someone there.
They had someone in mind, of course, you know, yes. But 6 months in now, I believe, a few weeks ago, we were talking about how they were struggling for consistency, couldn't string back-to-back wins together. After tonight, that's now 4 in a row in all competitions. 13 goals scored in those last 4 matches, 7 conceded. But, you know, no wonder Jürgen looked so happy on the bench tonight. And the atmosphere around Liverpool certainly changed when Klopp came in, but now it's reached fever pitch. After that, in the Europa League.
Well, I mean, for me, it's you know, that's all well and good. Klopp talks about passion. This is a perfect cocktail, really, for him and Liverpool. Liverpool fans love this point in the season. If they're still in competition, still looking to compete, and can still sort of inflict themselves on the other side, it's really when the problem that Liverpool teams have had in the past have been those games where they need to put in a performance, and then they haven't put in a performance. So, you know, the sort of, you know, the Stokes and those kind of guys. You know, that's why I think Liverpool fans were sort of so heartened by the performance against someone like Bournemouth, because it was sort of like coming off the back of such a great win and sort of, you know, what have we done to a fairly run-of-the-mill game, as a lot of people would consider it.
And so they were happy that Liverpool could win 2-0. But they've got to do that regularly. That's where Liverpool have fallen down over the last few years. Not in the big games, not been in the big games where Liverpool have never felt like they could compete. Klopp's got to bring in some form of consistency there. So it's really about what he does in the off-season. And you know, obviously we're seeing that as well. It's fantastic that, you know, we're seeing so many parallels with the past. You know, it's 35 years since Bill Shankly passed away. It could be the season where Liverpool go on to mark that by winning the Europa League. You know, the manager who succeeded in Bob Paisley was a manager who would tell players not necessarily the overall tactics of the game, but would tell them small details they needed to enact out on the pitch. And young players such as Stewart and such as Brad Smith and Ibe and there's one other player in there, but I can't remember who, have all sort of commented on the fact that, you know, he keeps it fairly simple for them and he just tells them to go out on the pitch and act on what they need to do and sort of tells them about what their role is. And that's fantastic. And not only that, but he's got a really good front line kind of clicking and putting things together. And, you know, when it doesn't work, it's really on the players, not so much him. They obviously welcome Newcastle this weekend.
As it stands,
ex-manager,
Liverpool are just 6 points behind Arsenal in fourth. They have a game in hand on both United and West Ham in fifth and sixth. Jordan Gallagher tweets in, could Liverpool still get top four flying and have better fixtures than United and West Ham? More favourable fixtures. What do you reckon? Bit of an ask?
Yeah, no, it is a bit of an ask. But what I do like is that, you know, when Klopp's been asked about it, he said, yeah, why... You know, of course, we're going to try and win all the games between now and the end of the season. Liverpool have a lot of winnable games. I do sort of worry, without another striking option up front, what he's going to do, how he's going to manage to rotate those players, because Sturridge has been fantastic rotating.
You're going to win the Europa League. It's fine. You're going to qualify for
Champions League. If Liverpool do win the Europa League and they get top four, does that mean that then it goes to fifth place?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
That'll be interesting. Do you remember that season where I think there's got to be some sort of rule like that, though, right? Surely it would go to fifth, because who else gets the place? Who's going to get the place then? Because obviously, if Liverpool come up, then that's four people from England, but then you've still not got the winner of the Europa League coming through. You still got to make the numbers add up.
I think it might go to they'll add maybe two teams to the qualifying round.
Surely they'd add the fifth place English team, because that's the benefit of the English league.
So I think they go to like countries with lower coefficients. So they basically from the first round of qualifying to actually get into the Champions League group stage. I think they add one in there, and then it'll just continue.
I see what you're saying, Dave, but at the same time...
I definitely don't think that it goes to the Premier League, the fifth Premier League team. It might go to the runner-up of the Europa League.
Interesting. Okay, so it would go to...
It's something that we should probably look at, or get some people to tweet in and tell us what happens.
Yeah, that'll be exactly on time and not too late.
Dave, talk to me about Manchester United. They're in fifth in that race for fourth, just a point behind the Gunners now, two behind Man City. Impressive performance tonight against Palace, or is it just more of the same?
The mighty Man United now, Adam, have won six consecutive Premier League games at Old Trafford, keeping a whopping five clean sheets in the process.
My God.
Today it was the, you know, the samey Man United we all know and love this season. You know, the first goal was a cross that Delaney just slammed into his own goal.
Beautiful finish. Beautiful finish.
Yeah, the second goal was an absolute cracker from Darmian from a corner. United decided not to take a short corner in this instant, whipped it into the box, came to the edge of the area, and Darmian banged it in. But I think that the positives of the game, Morgan Schneiderlin played as a single holder in midfield and was absolutely brilliant. Did everything right, both in a defensive and offensive mindset. You know, he held the space very well when needed to in front of the back four, came out and pressed when there was an opportunity, trapped runners into the back four when he needed to, shuttled out to cover the fullbacks when he needed to. On the ball, he was dropping between the centre-backs, spreading the play, allowing the fullbacks to attack. You know, when the United were moving the ball in the final third, if he'd gone ahead of the other two central midfielders, he was very concerned about moving behind them and covering his space again. It was just a very mature performance from Morgan Schneiderlin. He really controlled the game there, completed more passes than any other player on the pitch, 85, really set the tempo for the game, you know, kept it secure. United looked very secure when Palace counter-attacked, which is quite interesting because United had been caught out so many times this season, but it is massively to do with playing one holding midfielder instead of two. It makes a massive difference in football when you play with high fullbacks. Something that some teams have forgotten, especially in Europe. You know, Damian and Antonio Valencia were both absolutely brilliant. And Wayne Rooney played a little bit in central midfield. So it was quite interesting altogether. But just another sort of grinding out results and you know, trying to get to this top four. For me, the race for the top four, you've got to hit that 40-point mark. Sorry, the 70-point mark. I think that's going to be it. If you get 70 points, 40-point
mark.
So that means United need 11 points from their last four games. And Arsenal and City need less than that. And Liverpool probably need even more, obviously. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens come the end of the season, Adam.
Do you think if Manchester United finish fourth, do you think fans' opinions of Louis van Gaal will change? You know, that's kind of an achievement in a way, considering how bad they've been.
Well, it's an achievement considering how bad they've been, but it's not an achievement for the football they're playing or anything like that. I'm looking forward to seeing that some of these players get more chances than they're getting this season, because United just don't create chances. They had a lot of shots today, though, to be fair. They had a lot of shots on goal. Spironi had a really good game, to be fair to him. I think United are averaging, six shots on goal, shots on target this season. And against Crystal Palace, I think they had around 10 shots that were saved or on target. It was a better display, let's say, but it was still not setting the world alight. There were some moments where United could have really killed the game. You know, Rashford was put through on two occasions, once by Wayne Rooney, once by Antonio Valencia. So it was better than what we've seen. Let's put it that way. It was improved than the last game, but that's not really saying much. But still, FA Cup semi-final against an Everton team that's just been trounced by Liverpool. It's looking quite good for Manchester United come the end of the season.
Still 3 points ahead of West Ham, who won 3-1 tonight at home against Watford. Carroll with yet another goal.
Andy Carroll scored 6, assisted 1, 375 minutes on the pitch. That one comes from Kristen Hennage.
Should he go to the Euros though, Lawrence? That's the real question.
No, see you later.
Moving on, around the Premier League this week, we had Newcastle drawing with Man City, Lawrence, giving them hope in the battle against relegation.
Yeah.
Now, I've got my
chalkboard. Rightly so as well.
Of course. Benitez. If only they brought in Benitez a little bit earlier, maybe.
A beautiful board.
I got my chalkboard out. I've been doing my calculations. I've been doing all sorts of equations. I've been doing algebra, brackets.
Wow.
All sorts.
Wow.
This is impressive.
And by my calculations, by my extremely complicated mathematical equations, I had to carry one over and everything. Newcastle are going to stay up. Now, hear me out.
Oh, my
Newcastle
God.
Have got Liverpool, Palace, Villa and Spurs. They're not going to get points against Liverpool. They're not going to get points against Spurs. But I reckon they're going to beat Palace and they're going to beat Villa. That's 6 points, guys. That takes them up to 35 points.
Wow, but that's low.
Norwich have got Arsenal, Manchester United, Watford and Everton. Now, I know Everton aren't that great, but I reckon they're only going to get 3 points from those 4 games. That's 34 points. Putting them below Newcastle. Sunderland have got Arsenal, Stoke, Chelsea, Everton and Watford. Again, I think only 3 points for Sunderland, despite the fact they beat Norwich. That puts them on 33 points. Newcastle staying up. You heard it here first. Take it to the bank. Do what you want with it. I'm telling you, Rafa Benitez has
saved
Newcastle.
The bank aren't
going to
care. What are the bank going to do with that?
I don't know. Put some
Hello?
Money on it, mate.
I'd like to bank
put
a set
some dollars
of results,
on it.
Please.
Yes.
All right, okay. I just loaded up one of my spreadsheets, mate.
Do your
calculations.
Your newfangled calculations. Don't need a chalkboard.
I didn't do any calculations. I just inputted some data, press go, and it came out with, unfortunately, Sunderland staying up because of the big Sam factor. And unfortunately, Sunderland go on a run and they win the last 4 games according to my equations. Big Sam gets his tactics right and destroys the league.
Chelsea, Everton, and
Watford. And then that's not the end of the story. Next season, Sunderland go on to win the Premier League.
Hey, stranger things have happened.
Right.
Stranger things.
Have they? I'm not sure they have, but all right. And then Big Sam gets that big move to Real Madrid and we can all be done.
I think your computer's broken, Dave. Do you know how it normally sort of tries to take off and it explodes?
Maybe it's having a bit of a bad day.
I believe, Lawrence. You don't believe? I think Rafa's going to do it. He's going to do it.
I believe. I believe that they will win. I know what you mean. I think we've seen Rafa's ways coming in more and more. The rigidity, the way that he can move players in and out. People were talking, you know, about
started the game with that Mitrovic and Shelvey, brought those two guys on. They made a real difference to the match. Either way, I think people are either going to find ways to praise or criticise him, either way, and criticise Newcastle. Personally, I'd like to see Newcastle stay in the league, just because I think if they do, there's a lot more to be gained from having someone like Newcastle in the league. I think they're a fantastic side, and I think they represent that area well. We're also probably going to see Middlesbrough come up with Karanka. I think that'll be fantastic. He himself, obviously a huge character, gained a lot more control at the club over the last few weeks. So, there's still a lot to be said for that area, but it would be sad to see both Sunderland and Newcastle go down. That's probably a nightmare scenario for both those clubs because, not both of those guys can get the top two next season.
Hmm. Before we go around the rest of Europe tonight, then, elsewhere this midweek in the Premier League, can't give a mention to Spurs, guys, surely. A 4-0 win at the Britannia Stadium. People were saying this was going to be a tough fixture, a wet Monday night at the Potteries.
Stoke in the Midlands.
In the Midlands. It's tough. 4-0, Dave. Arguably, Spurs' best performance this season.
Oh, some of their play was unbelievable. The combination play between their attacking players was just ridiculously good. Dele Alli should have probably scored that hat-trick. That miss was quite funny.
Oh, yeah, he should have scored that.
But, the goals he did score were absolutely exceptional. Pieces of play, similar with Harry Kane. It's clicking for Spurs, it really is. It's quite interesting. Leicester City seem like they're struggling over the line like Chelsea did last season, and Tottenham are really going on a bit of a run at the moment, which is...
incredibly well-oiled machine. They look like every single aspect was working. As you say, Dele Alli in attacking midfield. Harry Kane with an absolute peach of an opening goal. Eric Lamella keeping up his fantastic form. Christian Eriksen tying everything together. Dembele and Dier, absolute tanks in the middle. Can they do it though, Lawrence? That is the question. I'm still saying no, because Leicester only need 8 points.
Yeah, it's less to do with Spurs' own performances this season. It's more to do with what Leicester are going to do. Leicester probably do need those points. I think Leicester can look back and think, it's good that they set themselves up for this point, and Spurs will maybe regret the loss of a couple of points. Didn't they draw against Liverpool earlier in the season? And you sort of look at the results at that point.
Lost to Leicester at home, and that feels like the one that might have been the one to turn it. And also,
it's just maybe if they're ahead in the North London derby, there's more pressure.
Was also a mistake. But Leicester have got Swansea next at home. You'd expect them to win that even without Vardy. They've got Manchester United away, Everton at home, and Chelsea away. Normally you'd think, they could drop points there, but Manchester United, although Dave, you're talking about, was it six home wins in a row, did you say?
Six consecutive home wins in the Premier League.
Is that the one potential banana skin, do we think, then?
Well, they're not going to have Jamie Vardy for that, and that was sort of their big threat against Manchester United, was the pace in behind. United can't really cope with that this season. So I do think there's going to be a real big game. I don't, the problem with this Everton team is that if they can get that little bit of form they had at the start of the season back, however they do that, whether Martinez does finally get the boot or he stays and flips it around like he's done at Wigan, that he did at Wigan so many times, then that could be a banana skin. Then it's going to be, imagine the final day of the season. Tottenham need Chelsea to beat Everton, to beat Leicester. That is going to be so funny.
Over, would they not?
And not, and...
yeah, probably like 11 youth players from the under-16s.
Yeah, and not only that, but I mean, Adam, I know that your predictions say that Newcastle may already be safe by that point, but imagine if, and I think other podcasts have said this already, last day of the season it comes down to Newcastle need points to stay up and Spurs need points to win the league. Sides go. I mean, Spurs at that point are absolutely ripping the anus out of Newcastle, but even then, it's still an exciting Rafa Benitez S. You can just imagine Rafa just like getting inside to bunker down, frustrating the other team, and having sort of a Mitrovic's Craig Bellamy almost.
You do wonder if it is going to come down to the last day. Chelsea at home against Leicester. Will they throw it? Will they maybe in the game beforehand against Tottenham at home? Is that the game where they're finally going to wake up from this sort of sleepwalk they're doing towards the end of the season? We will have to wait and see.
Good. Has anyone else seen these lovely comments from Roy Hodgson? I just read them on Twitter. It's about Jamie Vardy. Jamie Vardy going down, obviously. It says, all the pundits, I hear them say, I'll do it in Roy's voice, no, I can't. All the pundits, they hear him say, he dived. Look how he dived. I don't see it. I really don't. I'm sorry.
I'm I'm sorry.
I'm not sure. I mean, when you finish any sentence or begin any sentence with the phrase, I'm...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm sorry. What you're tending to unconsciously say is, I know I'm not speaking the truth. I'm sorry. To be fair, he does have to almost back his player, doesn't he? It's very difficult for him not to.
Around Europe then, Barcelona, Dave, they're in crisis. They've lost four games in a row. Enrique is flawed. Messi is past it. Oh, no, wait, hang on. They won 8-0 tonight. 8-0.
All those articles that people wrote, they look great now.
It's almost as if put them in the bin.
Snap judgments from game to game. Anyway, Dave, 8-0 against Deportivo La Coruña. Now, their running on paper is relatively simple, and you'd argue that this game almost represented their toughest test, with Deportivo being the highest placed out of those games in the final stretch. 8-0, it's just what they needed.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Deportivo aren't a bad unit this season. Lucas Perez up front has been pretty awesome in you know, carrying Deportivo on his back. But they don't look too bad when they're together. But 8-0 is incredible. Luis Suarez scored four goals and got three assists and completed 93% of his passes. That's unbelievable.
The record, Dave. He has broke original Ronaldo's record of 47 goals in one season for Barcelona, which dated back to the 1996-97 season. Suarez has now got a massive 49. Also,
that is incredible.
Sixth hat-trick of the season, tying him level with a certain other Ronaldo.
But the question is, Adam, is he Francesco Totti?
Oh,
no, he isn't.
You bring up Francesco Totti. He's quite literally not Francesco Totti. But you bring up a good question point elsewhere around Europe. Set the scene for me, Dave. Set the scene for me.
So, you know, Roma, you know, challenging for that Champions League spot. Fiorentina just on their back. Fiorentina hitting a little bit of form. You know, Roma playing at home against Torino, go down 2-1. 86th minute, Keita gets brought off a defensive midfielder. Totti comes on. 87th minute, scores the first goal. 88th minute, scores a penalty, turns the game around. Roma win 3-2. The legend of Totti continues.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, did he not do this at the weekend as well? Maybe to draw Roma level?
So Roma were winning, I think they're winning 2-1, sorry, and then it came back and they were losing 3-2, and then he came off and again rescued them.
Bit of controversy around Totti, obviously Spalletti choosing not to start him in games. Totti not exactly showing his appreciation for being left on the bench, sort of giving the appearance that he believes a player of his stature, of his legendary status, deserves more. He is 39 years old, though, so you can see why he's not starting the games. And in many ways, Spalletti has showed how to use Totti. You bring him on as that impact sub, and we've seen this week how effective that can be. Of course, he's on his way to Leicester now. So what does it matter? He's coming to the English champions. It's all good.
Of course he is.
That's definitely happening.
Definitely a thing.
He's actually on his way to join the New York Cosmos, is Totti. So really? It's one hell of a farewell he's given to Roma. I would have loved to have seen him break the Serie A record. He's got, I believe he's got about 30, 40 goals to go. So it's not going to happen, unfortunately. But
well,
it's
never know.
It's a brilliant way to bring to end, you know, I believe it's a 24-year career with Roma.
Yeah. He's been fantastic in that time, hasn't he? Hasn't he been good? Hasn't he been a bit of a legend? The only thing that let him down was doing that selfie celebration, wasn't it?
Maybe in some people's minds, but I think in a lot of people's minds, that's cemented.
Legendary status. Cemented.
Yeah, I think people enjoyed that a lot.
I saw that as a little bit of marketing. I think it was Nike who asked him to do it.
Did they?
So disappointed. I think so. Well, no, or just say the truth. He's been incredible. You know, I remember a time where there were a number of top sides in Europe who wanted to sign him. You know, he had the possibility of moving to Real Madrid. And to spend such a long time at one club, especially one club that's sort of always been in a very interesting phase, has been... It does show real dedication from one guy. And, Roma are a very special team, and Totti is a huge part of that.
Now, Hare Solomon has slid into the DMs. If you want to slide into the DMs, guys, at the front three, they are open. They are open for business. Solomon has slid in, and he said, Totti, closer, Zlatan. Seems like nowadays players can still thrive way beyond the age of 30. Will we see more of that in the future, thanks to modern medicine and other scientific progress? What do you reckon, Dave?
Yeah, I think you definitely will see that with the improvement of fitness and, you know, using things like yoga and that type of thing. We've seen that revolutionise a number of players' careers. You know, Ryan Giggs, a big believer of that. Ian Robin has done a lot of yoga under Pep Guardiola. So, yeah, I think we will see players with longer careers. But then on the flip side of that, we'll probably see players that might peak, like, for example, Wayne Rooney, that started his career off at the age of 16, similar to Totti, that will peak around 25, 26, and then they'll be on a bit of a downward spiral. So they'll probably still be playing at that age. You know, you're looking at 40, but they won't be at the same level they are. But then you will get the ones that have got the long careers. I think it's just naturally what people, you know, it's not more to do with people's bodies before and after. It's not really an environmental thing. It's how they've actually been born and what they've
nature
got
and
how
nurture.
They're going to go. Yeah, that's what I was searching for, Lawrence. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Cheers, mate. You're great.
Cheers, Dave. Thanks, Dave. No, you're great.
Elsewhere in Europe, Borussia Dortmund, Dave, winning 3-0 against Hertha Berlin, meaning they're through to the DFB Pokal final against Bayern Munich, a Der Klassiker final. Doesn't look like they're going to win the Bundesliga. It's relatively close as it is. This could be a chance for them to get that silverware and get one over on Bayern Munich.
Yeah, interesting enough, they knocked them out the competition last season on penalties. Mario Götze missing the key penalty. It was a great moment for Borussia Dortmund fans out there. But hopefully they obviously lost to Wolfsburg in the final of Kevin De Bruyne in that game. Was so good. He just destroyed Dortmund on his own. But it'd be brilliant final in Berlin. I think, is it the 21st of May?
It is. It is indeed.
Because that would be potentially on my football bucket list if I were to have one, Adam.
I did look up tickets when I just saw when I saw Dortmund got through. The original thing I saw was £335 a ticket is now.
Yeah, Dave.
I'm in.
Back off, Dave.
That's you in, Lawrence?
Save all that pocket money, mate. Yeah. Smash open piggy bank and we will be there. Now, how about transfer news, Dave? I want to talk a little bit of transfer gossip. Now, we're talking about Borussia Dortmund just then. Now, talk to me a little bit about Ousmane Dembele. And this is a name that has been linked with almost every big club in Europe. You know, the biggest of the biggest. Tottenham, Manchester United, Bayern Munich. But apparently, Bild are reporting, Borussia Dortmund have snapped him up already. Now,
that's the same paper that reported today that Lukaku had been around the Borussia Dortmund training facility. That was Sky Germany was saying that Lukaku was seen around the Borussia Dortmund training facilities, which potentially is all rubbish. But in terms of Ousmane Dembele, boy, what a talent we have in our hands here. Wrong this season, he's carried them at points. He's a very pacey winger, plays on the right-hand side, very, very skillful. Got a brilliant ability to accelerate and decelerate really quickly, which obviously is tricky in defenders, get you falling over, and good at cutting in, got a pretty decent shot on him, can take a set piece. And in terms of goals and assists, he's around the top of players under the age of 21 and doing very well with players under the age of 23. And he's definitely a talent. It'll be interesting to see where he plays
eventually, whether he does play through the middle or he does play out wide right. I quite like him as a right winger. He's got both, but he can go both ways. You know, players like Cristiano Ronaldo, players that can go on the outside and can go on the inside. Obviously, Ronaldo did lose that a little bit moving on the left-hand side, but when Ronaldo was on the right, he could do both. It's quite similar to Ousmane Dembele. Very, 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 very quick. You know, 12 goals this season in Liga and 5 assists. And he only got into the first team in November. So he sort of had, what, 2/3 of a season, and he's wrapped up those type of stats, which is pretty decent. And the really incredible thing, though, is his ability to dribble past an opponent. So he's attempted 131 take-ons in Liga and completed 94 of them. So maybe those numbers are a bit over your head, but that means that you've got a success rate of 72%. That's like Lionel Messi's success rate. Lionel Messi's up in the 70s, and if Ousmane Dembele has got a similar record to that, obviously, you know, some players don't translate stats across league. You know, players like N'Golo Kanté had brilliant tackle stats and interception stats that transferred to the Premier League easily, but Ousmane Dembele looks like a player that could do that, that could continue having that ability of scoring goals, getting assists, and just generally creating play. And he'd be great for any team that needs a right winger. And it's quite interesting that there is sort of a power vacuum of right wingers in European football right now, is that there's no natural right wingers, and he could fit into that bracket. So how much money is he going to be? 18 years old as well.
Teams falling over themselves to sign this guy. You mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo there, Dave. The report's coming out today in the Spanish press that he's actually expected to renew his contract with Real Madrid until 2020. Now, previously widely believed to be leaving this summer, be it to PSG, be it to Manchester United, be it to MLS or somewhere like that. Well, Lawrence, what do you make of this news? Is it something to do with the fact that he's been playing out of his skin in the last month or so?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good rumour. I'll get Adam, do you want to hear something out of 5? I'll go 4 out of 5 for that.
Yeah, you reckon that's happening?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Do you not think, we've had a lot of talk about, it does fluctuate every couple of months with Real Madrid and Ronaldo. Every time his form sort of dips, you know, the Madrid press is sort of talking about how he needs to be moved on, that he's become too much of a distraction almost at the club, and he needs to make way so players like Gareth Bale can sort of achieve their potential. But as soon as he has a performance like he did against Wolfsburg just a few weeks ago, all of a sudden they want to keep their greatest goal scorer. You know, he's the best player they've ever seen.
Well, I think obviously there's ways to inflate the price of certain players, or, you know, work out how you're going to get your market value. I do think it also, under Rafa Benitez, I think it would have been quite clear that Ronaldo was going to get moved on in the end because his position was changing and maybe he wasn't so happy with that. Although maybe that does show sort of player power there and how important that is. I think that's very much going to be down to Ronaldo and Jorge Mendes and how quickly and how much money they think they can get into Ronaldo's pocket as opposed to into anyone else's pocket. The problem being it changes every week, essentially, because, you know, 1 minute he wants to stay, the next minute he wants to go, 1 minute Real Madrid wants to stay, the next minute Florentino Perez wants him to go.
Speaking of Jorge Mendes and speaking of changes every week, PSG have offered Jose Mourinho a job, Dave. Now, is this some classic negotiating through the press, through Mourinho, through Mendes? Well, I think there's some truth to this one, because I don't think there's any secret that PSG are dissatisfied with the fact that although Laurent Blanc did win the league in March, essentially that early exit from the Champions League was never likely to go down well. And Mourinho is obviously someone that PSG and their hierarchy have coveted for a while now.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, whether it's Jorge Mendes is trying to force Man United's hand or whether this is just press absolute rubbish that's been come out of wherever. Obviously, Sky are a pretty decent source usually, but sometimes these things can explode. Now, if we did go back and did some analysis on all the rumours that they did say was going on, there could be a load of crap that you see. But for me, you know, Mourinho has mentioned in the past that he's not a massive fan of Liga. He doesn't see it as one of the top leagues in Europe. Obviously, quite disrespectful to the league previously, but PSG have a load of money. But Man United equally have a lot of money, have a lot of pull. So I do kind of think he's already signed for Manchester United. But if he doesn't, then this is football. Anything can happen.
They There you have it. This is football.
Some excellent sitting on the fence from both pundits there.
But I think he's going to sign. I think he's already signed for United. My sources have told me. My ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard.
Who's your? Oh, very good. Yeah. It's a play on words. Sources. Sources. Now, do we have any other business, gents, before we wrap up
loads
this,
of business,
this
Adam,
wonderful podcast? I mean, come have on, you seen any news you want to discuss? Any footballing issues you're dying to debate?
One thing I did want to talk about was over the past week, we obviously went to Liverpool, the Dortmund. Now, we've already spoken about the game. Everyone's already, obviously, we've pushed all the views towards that video. Massive. Now, the point is in the comments below, a lot of people get pissed off with a couple of things, Adam. It sort of brought the question of authenticity in football up. First of all, let's talk about half and half scarves. Where do you guys stand on and why? Well, I don't care if you go, I hate half and half scarves. That's fine. If you hate them, that's fine. You've got to give me a good reason as to why. Because my reason for buying a half and half scarf, which didn't go into this video, was that I already have 10 other Liverpool scarves at home. Now, I wanted to give this scarf away to someone, or, you know, work out a way of sort of, you know, making it a prize that we could get. So I was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to go buy a half and half scarf before the game. It's a nice scarf. Both sides sing You Never Walk Alone. There's a link, a clock between the two. At least you're buying a scarf where there's a link between the two clubs, and I can actually see it, and I'm going to go to Anfield on that night. That's going to be a great memory. I've got 20 other Liverpool scarves at home. I don't need the rest. That's my reason behind buying a half and half scarf. What do you think, Adam?
I didn't see the problem, to be honest, in the Liverpool Dortmund half and half scarf, because it I think there's a difference between those two clubs. There seems to be a connection there. There seems to be a bond, not just because of the former manager, because of, you know, the You Never Walk Alone aspect. I didn't necessarily see a problem with it, but I see people seem to have a problem with it in general, because you see when teams like United and, say, Liverpool play each other, Tottenham and Arsenal play each other, those half and half scarves come out in force. And when people buy them, I think there is that suspicion, or there is that view that kind of the tourists buy those scarves, and they're not the real fans. And again, as you say, you bring up there that criticism of inauthenticity comes to play. So I think that's why people tend to see that as a problem.
I have a real problem with inauthenticity in the game in the first place. I mean, you know, I've been doing blogging since 2009, and a huge problem in America was always that people didn't really care so much about the football. They cared about how much you cared they knew about the football. And so there's a comment below this video that says, oh, I hate plastic fans like this, ones that come from London, never been to Liverpool before. And I'm like, you know, mate, you can fuck off for a start. So, I'd obviously, if you don't have a Liverpool accent, that's fine. He's taking tickets off local fans. Yeah, I bought my ticket from a local fan who had a season ticket and had another ticket to go. Like, again, another reason why you can fuck off. So I don't get how, you know, I mean, it's perfectly fine that people want to watch the Premier League and want to talk about Liverpool or all these kind of things. I understand certain people feel disenfranchised. But what I do find problematic is when there's a number of people who just seem to speak from a position of being, you know, sort of disenfranchised, but not particularly looking into the details as to why. You're discussing why they don't feel like they're part of the game.
Yeah, and I agree.
I've got to admit, I found that quite frustrating, because there's probably, you know, tonight I stream the game between Liverpool and Everton illegally. I don't want to pay the money every season alone in a rented flat in London, which is going to be £75-80 to be able to get those things.
I think that you're
I can tax write it off, whatever. I will stream that illegally because you guys have priced me out of that market. Now, you know, fair enough, there's debates over who can afford it and who can't. But the point is with that means that there's someone around the world who lives in Dubai, there's someone around the world who lives in India who pays their subscription, who's put more money into the game of football than I have. Does that make them a more authentic fan?
I think you're speaking to it there, essentially, that is almost a symptom of the problems with modern football, in that fans feel disenfranchised, and they're directing their anger at the wrong thing almost. They're directed at half and half scarves because they believe, you know, that's almost like a tourist souvenir of an event, as opposed to, you know, a sort of a tribal thing you wear to show your diehard affiliation with a club. They see that as a problem because the game is almost going away from the fans and going more to the tourists and maybe people who aren't as dedicated, or they feel like don't almost deserve to be part of their fan community. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying.
I mean,
that,
I would first of all have a problem with saying it was the tourists. If you're going to have a go at anyone, have a go at the corporate boxes. Have
exactly,
a go at the
that's what I mean. They're
along.
Directing it.
But I think that's
the wrong
that's
place.
What it
I mean,
is.
Essentially,
they're not. But, you know, they aren't tour. You know, if you're a tourist, I get the feeling that if you go to a game, you're going to be filling the stadium with positive energy or sort of excitement. If you're, I've been to plenty of. I mean, you know, I haven't paid for fucking football tickets in ages. I get them, you know, gratis from whoever. And if I want to go to a match, and I'll pay, and you know, I'll pay to go and see Crystal Palace or whatever. But the point is that I very often get them from people who then I'm sitting next to. They don't cheer for the entire game because they're from London and they did come to just come and see a game or sort of, you know, go to Anfield for whatever.
That's what people
those
criticize,
guys
isn't it?
If
lots of tourists turn up in the stadium, they don't know the songs or they're less inclined to join in with the tribalism of the game. They're more likely to be taking photos and some might say wearing their half and half scarves. That's where the problem comes from. Now, as I say, the problem is not necessarily those fans. The problem is, why are the conditions there that only tourists can afford tickets for these games or even want to go to these games? Why are local people not incentivized to go to these games? Why aren't, you know, tickets subsidized? All these sort of initiatives which could, you know, make the atmosphere more authentic or more exciting. I think people direct their ire at these sort of aspects of the game because they feel like it's slipping.
Instead of the problem.
Exactly, yeah. So, as you sort of pointed out at the start, it's not necessarily the problem itself is half and half scarves, but it's a symptom of the problems with modern football as it is.
I see what you're saying. I mean, at the same time, you know, I think it's great that a football club, you know, the huge problem with commercialism is obviously it's based on ideas which then spread around the world, but a huge great idea of football, and especially with clubs like Liverpool, which are built on, you know, what Bill Shankly built ages ago or whatever, if people can share in that idea and learn something because of that, I think that's great. But I do think it sort of, you know, comes back to aggressive sort of commercialization of the game, which is taken away from people's experience of that. Dave, are you... The thing is, Dave gets away with it because Dave's got a Manchester accent.
You are the most authentic.
I saw your fan cam after that.
You went like triple northern London after you had a few beers.
Mate, I want to take you back to the days when I was 18, 19, going around Europe watching United. So I've got that always in my back pocket.
Yeah, that's long past now, though, Dave.
And that's what I was going to say. It becomes, when you've got a job and when you're working all the time, it becomes more difficult to do these things. Like, I used to work a bar job and it was very flexible with hours, so I could go to Glasgow or go away to Monaco or go to Milan, and it was a lot easier. Now you've got job commitments, it's a lot difficult. It's difficult to get, you know, midweek off and that type of thing. We're going to that West Ham game. I didn't get the ticket through the club or anything. I had to pay a tout. I paid a tout an extra £55 for the ticket, which again is systematic of what we've created. You know, you mentioned the half and half scarves. You mentioned the corporate, which is all part of this big horrible bubble that we've created. That to go and watch the team that you've supported all your life away from home, where the atmosphere is the only time where the atmosphere is actually decent. The last few times I've been to Old Trafford, I've been very disappointed about the atmosphere. It's poor. You know, but going away, it's absolutely fantastic. But that's going to cost you another £55 or 250% of the ticket price, which again is something that we've created. But like, we've got to deal with it, right? Until we can sort that problem out, you know, we've just got to pay that price. And I feel that's what we are. We're stuck in this market now, where the market is clearly defined and what you can do, what you can't do, what you have to pay to get to watch your team. Whereas it used to be, you know, working class people used to be able to go to football. You could go with all your mates and have a good time. But now it's sort of, they've been driven out, and now, in a way, other fans are starting to get driven out. But I think we're sort of stuck. You've just got to take that commitment, I think.
Mm. I mean, I have sympathy for everyone who's trying to pay to go and see a game. You know, everything, you know, should be affordable. It's difficult because, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people have said this about Liverpool. You know, one minute they sort of castigate the club for being commercial, or they sort of have a go at United fans for having sold out all those years ago in the 90s, but the next minute they'll be saying, well, why aren't we spending the big money on these big players? So I think, you know, it's a two-sided coin, really, isn't it? You know, it's how you get the best players and what the perception of the best players is. I think a lot of the clubs are sort of caught in a halfway house at this point, aren't they? You know, they don't want to let their fans down, you know, which is what a club like Aston Villa have done at this point. But at the same time, they don't want to spend 50 million on someone like Teixeira, you know, or someone like that, because that is, you know, you're paying above market rate there. And you'd say that, again, that sort of comes down to the central bodies, not even so much, which, you know, obviously they're influenced by the clubs, but FIFA and UEFA and those sorts of people need to be talking and working out how to stop that. And part of that is about player movement and working out how to get players to feel more connected to the clubs, but also freer to move when they need to be able to move, so that transfer fees go down and not everyone's on the brink of making millions and millions, taking agents out of that equation to make that amount of money at least, and make it into something which is not just going to get you an end product of cash.
We've completed life.
I mean, yeah, I think we actually, yeah. Let us know what you guys would do. I'd love to know a more detailed plan, because obviously we get into these sort of surface conversations. I do think that, you know, there's certain bodies within football right now that are pushing for people to be able to move more freely within the game. And I think that will bring it around the next footballing money revolution. But, you know, if you go to people like FIFA Pro, they want players to be freer to move. And also, obviously, the clubs to be more committed to players at that point and sort of to almost be a better employer. Clubs aren't particularly good employers if you look at them at this point. Not from the side of actually treating people as a human anyway. You know, it's all well and good treating someone as a valuable asset or a customer or a consumer. But when do you fulfill the human side? We'll find out real soon on the front three. Oh.
That brings an end to this week's podcast, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Before we go, we should mention that this weekend is our first birthday. We mentioned it last week. It's our first birthday as a podcast.
We've been doing this for a year.
Now, the question is, what do we do to celebrate? I'm going to put out a poll on Twitter. What?
One Ferrero Rocher for every listener.
That's thousands of Ferrero Rocher. I don't think I can afford thousands.
Yeah, I thought it was about 10 or 11.
Ferrero Rochers, yeah. 10 or 11 Ferrero Rochers, in reality. Just like to boost it up. What do you reckon? What can the options be here? Meeting up, beers, kickabouts.
What we could potentially do is we could like delay our party till the end of the season. Ooh. What do you reckon about that? Like a delayed birthday party.
End of the season. Like the Queen party.
Has. Yeah, but then it's not a party because we could play five-a-side. We could go to have some beers. We could play the five-a-side, then go and have some beers. We could just go to the Roxy. You know, there's lots of things we could do.
I've done it. Going to the Roxy, Dave. Stop suggesting going to the Roxy all the time.
You know, my vote's with the Roxy, to be honest. You know, any listeners that want to join me in the Roxy are welcome.
I've done it. I've tweeted it out. I've tweeted out four options. The options are meetup, beers. The second option is meetup, kickabout. The third option is end of season party. And the fourth option is all of the above. So the poll's out there. Have a vote on Twitter. That's what we're going to do to celebrate our first birthday. Get on it. One vote so far for 100%, all of the above.
Adam, is that you?
Yes. No. Anyway, listen, brings an end to this week's podcast. Saturday is our official birthday podcast. We may have to do something a little bit special. Maybe a Q&A about anything. It doesn't have to be football. It could be anything in the world.
People know about football. We still want to know what people's highlights are, because we might go back and find said highlights.
Let's get some highlights in. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Until then, though, Lawrence, where can the whole find more of your face and voice and tweets?
Good question. Go to Lozcast, LOZCAST. Dave, what about you, Dave?
LOZCAST. Follow me on Twitter, please.
UAWKADAVE.
Lovely job.
Yeah, and what about you, Adam?
Burley.
Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Adam Boltwood. If you want to follow my dad, it's at Dad Boltwood. He's not really my dad. Until Saturday.
What about Mum Boltwood? You don't love your mum?
You can also follow at Mumble, which is not my mum. Until Saturday, until our birthday, we need to get a cake, by the way, guys. We need to get
Guys. Guys, let's get it. What would you? That's what you want to do. Is what you want to vote is vote what we get written on the cake. It's definitely hashtag around the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, most definitely. Have a lovely week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Guys, we'll see you this weekend. Enjoy yourselves.
Cake.